Let's open up in a word of prayer this morning. Ask God to bless our time together. Oh, well, that's going to... I can roam. Okay. Lord, we just come before you this morning with humbled hearts just to think that you would be among us. Lord, we just pray for your presence now. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come down to work and to minister, Lord, through your word. Father, I ask especially that you would just work through me, God, that you would use me, Lord, to bring forth your word so that it would just be you, Lord, that people would hear and not me. God, may we be open to receive all that you would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon this morning is, Are You Like Peter or Paul? And the first that I'd like to share at the opening verse is Mark 10:28. So whether you're digital or whether you're old school on the book, Mark 10:28. And Peter began to say to him, Behold, we have left everything and followed you. This remark came on the heels of Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler. And it's where Jesus tells the young man that the one thing that he lacked was to give all his possessions to the poor. And the rich young man just couldn't do it. It was a hindrance to him, and he couldn't give those things up. And so then Jesus goes on to say in Mark 10:25-27, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were even more astonished, the disciples, and said to him, Then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said, With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And that's when Peter goes on to say, We've left everything to follow you. And the book of Matthew adds Peter also saying, What then will be left for us? So in reading that, you can almost hear, you can almost hear the frustration and the desperation in his voice. And if you look back over the previous chapters in Matthew and in Mark, these were very hard teachings that Jesus had been teaching. It was about discipleship and what Jesus expected of his disciples and of the people that followed him. And so these were really hard teachings. And then he follows up on this saying that, you know, rich, if you're rich, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven, and it's impossible except with God. And so Peter is just, he's really frustrated, and he's like, well, who can enter then? And we've given up everything for you. And if you look back, it was just really hard. And at this point, maybe Peter was thinking, this isn't what I signed up for. What have I gotten myself into? And, you know, sometimes I think we find ourselves in that situation. Maybe we volunteer for a task and it turns out to be a lot more than we thought. Or the little job we hope to accomplish in a few hours turns out to be an all-day affair. Or helping someone, they say, hey, can you help me with a few little things that I need to do? And you end up helping them pack up their whole house. And you think, I'm going to unfriend this person when I get home. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. So when Peter first started following Christ, you remember at the beginning it was all miracles. You read miracle after miracle after miracle, and they received him wherever he went. Everybody loved Jesus at the beginning. It was great. And the disciples were in on that from the very beginning. You know, everybody loved Jesus, and everybody loved being with him. But then as it went on, Jesus started to unload a little bit heavier stuff. You know, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross daily and you got to die to yourself. You know, different things like this. And then, you know, it started getting heavier. And like I said, in the chapters that preceded this, it was a lot of heavy teachings that Jesus was teaching them and what it really entailed. And so the longer he followed, the more Jesus asked. So maybe Peter was feeling overwhelmed and unsure, and maybe even a little scared at this point. So maybe we felt like that. Maybe when we said yes to Jesus, we had an expectation of what it would be like, but we find that Jesus is asking more than we thought. We've come to that point in our walk with the Lord that Jesus is asking maybe more than we're prepared to give. Maybe Jesus wants to take us to another level in our walk, and we're thinking, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be. This isn't what I signed up for. Or, Jesus, it wasn't like this at the beginning. At the beginning, you answered all my prayers right away. When I read the scriptures, I felt your presence right away. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. I'm not sure this is what I want. More than we're prepared to give. We're feeling overwhelmed or unsure. Or maybe like Peter, we feel like we've given enough. We say, Jesus, that's enough. I've given enough. I just can't give anymore. Now, Paul, on the other hand, he was ready to give it all up. Philippians 3, 7 and 8, Paul is speaking. He said, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all those things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowledge, Christ Jesus my Lord, or knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." Paul says, I don't care about the things I have here on earth. And he had a lot going for him. Paul wasn't just anybody. He was a very high-ranking Jewish religious leader. But on living for Christ, he says, all the worldly things I have, all the status, all the people that thought highly of me, all the worldly things that I have, it doesn't matter. It's like rubbish or garbage compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Paul was ready to give it all up, and he did give it all up. But on living for Christ, he says, it's nothing compared to what I have in Christ. So on being like Peter or Paul, how do we get beyond feeling like Peter and being more like Paul? Because, you know, nobody wants to be like Peter and feel like, I've given enough. I don't want to do any more. You want to be like Paul. Everybody wants to take the high road and not the low road in our Christian walk. We want to move on. So one thing is to remember that God is working in us. God just didn't leave Peter where he was and say, okay, kick him to the side of the road and forget about him. And God doesn't do that with any of us either. Jesus is constantly working in us. And Philippians 1:6 tells us this. It says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." Sometimes we forget that. We forget that Jesus is constantly working in us. We think that, you know, sometimes we have people that maybe we're friends with, and they're kind of a lot of work, or maybe our children, they're a lot of work, and sometimes we get tired of dealing with them every day. But you know what? Jesus never gets tired of dealing with you, and Jesus never will give up on you. It says he's confident that he's going to complete the task in you, no matter how long it takes. And you know what? It's going to take up until the day that you stop breathing. You're always going to be a work in progress. And don't forget that. Don't think that you're going to turn, 68 or 72 and all of a sudden you're going to be done. And then for, 10 more years, you're going to be perfect. It's not going to work like that. You are always going to be a work in progress. There is always going to be something more that needs to be done in your life. And it says that he's confident that he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is able to continue the work in your life that he started. So don't get discouraged thinking that he can't do it. Maybe you think you're a lot of work. Maybe you think you're a big project. I think I'm a big project. I think I'm high maintenance to God. But God doesn't see it that way. So don't be discouraged. Also, we're not alone. Sometimes we think that we're the only Christian who's taking a stand and trying to live right. Maybe you're the only person in your workplace that's a Christian, or the only student. You go to a school and maybe you don't know any other Christians in your school, and you think you're the only one that's standing up for Jesus. Or in your house, are you the only Christian in your house trying to hold up the standards of Jesus Christ? But we are not alone. But you know what? Elijah felt like this. And 1 Kings 19, 10 through 14, and then verse 18 is an interesting story. This is after he had done that big miracle where he had faced all the priests of Baal. And the story goes that there was an altar that they had, that the priests of Baal, they made this altar. And there was like 400 of them. And then there was just Elijah. And they had poured water on, well, they had tried to light the fire of Baal on the altar, and they all day long they did this. Fire wouldn't light on Baal's altar. Called down, tried to call down fire. On Elijah's altar, he said, dig a trench around my altar. Now pour tons of water on it. And they filled up so much water that the trenches were full. And he said the word, fire came down, devoured everything, even the stones. So an incredible miracle. And then Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And he gets scared at this. He thinks God can't save him. So he runs away, and this is where we come across this scripture. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountains before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then he said, again, just in case God didn't know, I have been very zealous for the Lord, God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. I'm the only one that's serving you, God. And they seek my life to take it away. And then in verse 18, God goes on to tell him, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. He says, Elijah, you're not alone. I have 7,000 people that have not bowed down to Baal. They're still serving me. You just don't know about them, but I have them. You're not alone. You're not the only one that's serving me. And you know what? God wants you to know that you are not the only one that's serving him. He has Christians all over, even if you don't see them, that are standing firm for him. And so he wants you to know that you are not alone. And even if you don't see other Christians, you have the Holy Spirit with you to encourage you and to help you in your stand. So be encouraged in that you are not alone and you are not the only one. Also, no one is perfect. Everyone struggles. You know, we talked about Paul. Are you Paul? And how that Paul, gave away, everything was rubbish to him. But you know what? Paul struggled too. Romans 7:15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. So even Paul, who was an incredible, mighty man of God, in his daily life, there was things that he wished that he didn't do. He had sins that, sometimes there's things that you say, why am I doing this? I'm a Christian. I want to get over this. I don't want to do this anymore. And Paul was the same way. So lest you think Paul was like Jesus walking on the earth, he wasn't. He was just like me and you. Paul had struggles too. So no one is perfect. Also, we won't always stay where we are now spiritually. So Peter didn't stay where he was spiritually. We kind of look back on Peter. Peter takes a lot of heat in the Bible. We always talk about Peter denying Christ. And now I'm talking about Peter when he was saying, well, Lord, we gave up everything for you. But, bless Peter's heart. He's a really good example for us, isn't he? Because we can really relate to him. He's like my favorite Bible character. Because, we see him like when he was really bad, but then we can look ahead and see all the amazing things that God did in his life. And it gives me, especially, it gives me hope that God can do things for me too. But, he didn't stay where he was spiritually. He grew in his faith. If you go on and read 1st and 2nd Peter, you see an incredible change when you read his letters. What a man of God that he became. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to one verse in 1 Peter 4:14. He says, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Was that the same attitude that he had in the beginning? The first verse that he read, he's like, It's too much. You're asking too much, God. And now he's like, you know what? If you're reviled for the name of Christ, be blessed. You're blessed because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And that's what the whole books of 1st and 2nd Peter are about. It's about suffering, and it's about trial, and it's about making it through. Peter had learned, he had grown so much, and he was only with Jesus for 3 years. The rest of the time, God kept working on him. God didn't abandon him. God kept working on him. An incredible man of God that we can see later on, so that you're not always going to stay where you are now spiritually. If you feel like you're just not going to grow at all, don't feel like that, because God took Peter where he was and made him an incredible man of God. And God is going to do the same with each one of us. He keeps us growing. And at the end, if you can look back now, if any of you have been serving God for maybe like 10 years or more, if you look back from where you started to where you are now, do you think, wow, I didn't think I would be like this? You know, God has taken some things and changed some things and done things that I never thought God could do. You know, that's all the Holy Spirit working in us, continuing to do things. God matures us and changes us and makes us what we didn't think that we could be. And also, Christ gave Peter and us an encouragement to help us when we feel discouraged and overwhelmed. Peter made that original statement saying, "We gave up everything for you." And Jesus answers him. And Mark 10:28 through 30, Peter's original statement began, Peter began saying to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." But what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. We will receive 100 times now in blessings from the Lord. Anything lost, the Lord replaces." If you have given up or lost anything for your serving the Lord will replace it. If we've lost our families because of our commitment to Christ, we have a new family. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a heavenly Father. We have fellowship with Jesus. And, you know, maybe here we don't face that so much, losing family because of our commitment to Christ. But in many countries, when you make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, your family literally says, "It's us or it's Jesus." And those people have nowhere to go. They're turned out of their home, and they make that decision, and that's it. And so Jesus says, "You have family now. You have a new family. You're in my family now." And so Jesus says, "You have that now." And yes, there will be persecutions. And he tells them, there will be persecutions. But in the age to come, eternal life. And so there is nothing that we can lose here that will not be worth it when we stand before him. Nothing that you give up will be of any matter when it comes compared to eternal life. And when we stand before him, there's nothing that can compare. Revelation 22, 3 through 5. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night. And they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor of the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Anything that we think that we are giving up for Jesus Christ, when we stand before him, it will be like nothing. So I know this is kind of short, but, you know, really this was kind of to the point. But, you know, I kind of struggled when I wrote this. A lot of things were going through my mind at the time, but I really felt like maybe there were some people that were struggling. When I was writing this, it was almost like I felt like I was writing a letter to someone, that God was having me write a letter to someone. And it was meant to encourage someone who was struggling. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe God is asking more of you than you feel like you can give. Maybe you're saying, this is enough, God. I don't feel like I can give any more. Or maybe God is calling you to a higher level and you're saying, no, that's enough. I'm right where I'm at is all I can do. Maybe you're overwhelmed with the things that are going on in your life, and God wants to encourage you and say that he's there with you and he can help you to move past those things. Or maybe you're like Paul. Maybe you've been serving God a long time, but there are things in your life that have been just little sins, things that you don't want to do, but still happen. And everybody has them, but God says, I want to help you overcome them. So Jerry and Henry, if you would come up. So I asked Jerry to play a certain song. And in this song, it's like a commitment. And it's saying to God, you know, everything that I have, my heart, it's yours. I open up my heart to you, and I commit again to you, Lord. And I just would like to ask you just to consider to open up your heart to the Lord. If there is something, if you have any feelings of being overwhelmed, if you want to, God is asking something and you feel like you can't go on, move past this place where God has you and you want to go on and you just feel like in yourself you can't, or if there are things that you're struggling with, just to, by faith, make that commitment and say, everything that I have is yours, God. My heart is yours. And by faith, if you say that, God sees that, and that's a pleasing sacrifice to God. And he sees that, and he will work with that, and he will move in that. And God will do the work with you and for you.
Is to do is to give up everything for God. Not that God will ask you to give up everything, but I believe God asks one thing of everyone. Are you willing to give up everything for me? And that's not an empty call or an empty invitation. That's something that Jesus demonstrated when he went to Calvary. He gave up everything. He gave up the glory and the splendor. Imagine, he gave up the glory and the splendor of heaven to come to this earth, to live and to go through all the things that we go through as individuals, to be falsely accused, and then suffer and then die. Although he rose again, praise God. He counted everything lost for us. And he asked us to do the same thing. And that's tough. Many people have put their faith in Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you have died for me. But few people or fewer people have said, God, I'm willing to give up everything for you. God, whatever you ask me to do, I will give up to you. God, if tonight you want me to sell all and go and do for your kingdom, your cause, I will do it. It's a question that he asks. Are you willing? And it's a tough question, but let me tell you, when we say yes, there's no greater reward. We submit our lives completely before God and say, God, I give you everything. My life, my heart, my home, my family, everything I give to you, O God. Because when we give to God, he gives so much back. And I'm not saying, you know, you give God your house, he's going to give you a mansion. Someday you'll get one. But you get something greater than that. And that's the presence and the glory of God upon your life. Paul said he was in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He was willing to go through anything. In fact, the way the scripture reads says that he was willing to suffer and rejoiced in that suffering for God's kingdom. Because when he suffered, the power of God rested upon him. And there was nothing greater than that in his life. Let me tell you, I don't mean to get preachy this morning, but let me tell you, in things, we want things and they're pleasing to our flesh. But you know the bad thing about that? They never satisfy. But when we give everything to Jesus, he more than satisfies. And so this morning, what is your answer to the question, are you Peter? Are you like Peter or are you like Paul? Or are you like Peter after the fact? And if you're here today and God is dealing with your heart and you haven't come to that place of letting go of your life completely, Jesus puts it this way, I believe also in the Gospel of Mark, he who finds his life shall lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. And in your heart, you're ready to make that commitment. God, not only do I confess you as Lord, I'm ready to give you everything. I invite you as our worship team continues to worship this morning to make your way forward and to spend some time before the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him. And let me tell you, if this message was for someone and it was certainly for all of us, don't put it off until tomorrow. Well, later, I'll tell God later, or I'll surrender my life in my heart later. Do it now. Do it now and ask God to help you to keep that commitment in the name of Jesus. Bless God. I'm going to ask our elders to come forward. We're going to have prayer for the sick, for those who are in need, but we do invite folks to come forward to make that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe there are some here, there's some things that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your minds this morning that you've not counted as loss. You're holding on to, you're not willing to give it to Jesus. Let me tell you, whatever thing that is, it's been a barrier between you and what God has for you. It's keeping you from where you could be in Jesus and experiencing more of Jesus. I'm confirmed in my spirit and in my heart regarding that. So come as we sing. I'm going to give a prayer of dismissal for those who need to go and for those who'd like to come to pray and commit, or those who would like to come and be prayed for as far as for sickness. We invite you to come. But let's bow our hearts together. Father, we thank you so much for once again visiting with us today and speaking to our hearts in the holy name of Jesus. We thank you for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move upon us. And we are so grateful, God, that we are works in progress and that we don't have to be discouraged. But God, may we never fall into a state of spiritual procrastination and put off what you would like to do in our hearts, Lord, till tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. But while it's still called today, let us, O God, allow your hand to work and move in our lives. Help us, God, this week as we depart this place to walk in the power of your Spirit, to shine the joy and the light of Jesus to everyone we come in contact with, and keep us, God, close to your heart until we can come back together as one body so that with one voice and one heart we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless those who go, but those whom the Spirit of God is compelling, please come in Jesus' name.